What's up and welcome everybody to the Bros and Consoles podcast, episode 73 on May 1st, 2021. I am one half of your host, Nathan Choquette, joined by Sonic's number one fan, Michael Panarero.
Can I go on a small, tiny little rant here?
Oh, we're doing it now. Okay, yeah, let's
just get it out of the way.
All right.
Very, very small. I just want to shoot out the gate with this.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick. It takes a lot to irk me, as you know.
Okay, yeah.
Nothing really fazes me too much. Don't get mad that often.
Mm-hmm.
I was on Twitter the other day, scrolling through video game stuff.
Yeah.
Came across a Reddit thread about...
That's never a good thing.
No. The post itself is fine.
Oh, gotcha.
It's about somebody posted saying it would be cool if Returnal had like a save feature.
Okay, Returnal being the PS5 game that released yesterday.
And most recent roguelikes, like Hades, Enter the Gungeon, I'm pretty sure Binding of Isaac has a save feature where once you enter a new area, it saves the game for you.
Yes.
So if you turn it off, you can turn it back on and enter that room.
Mm-hmm.
But once you die or whatever, or enter a new room, that save's gone.
Yes.
So you can't like constantly open it up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It got to the point where Reddit, a lot of people were posting about it, that Housemark acknowledged it. Like, oh, we have nothing to say about it now, but we hear you guys. We hear you, basically. We go, cool.
Okay.
But the sheer amount of responses of people saying this is terrible. Don't do this. It ruins the game.
Wait, as in like adding a save feature?
Adding a save feature ruins the difficulty of the game, ruins everything about the game. Baffles me.
Interesting take.
One comment.
Okay, gotcha.
That, and there's a bunch of these. Okay. A bunch of these.
And we're not giving names of commenters, right? Okay, yeah.
But this one said, I better hurry up and enjoy the game now before it's dumbed down and destroyed by people complaining and want multiple save points, which defeats the purpose of dying and the cycle nature of the game.
I gotcha. I think they misunderstand what they're talking about.
I completely do. But I think that this also goes back to the whole argument that was a while, not even argument, but thinking about like Souls game adding like an easy mode back in the day. Same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I can't comprehend how say a Souls game or whatever, a hard game adds the easy mode, or Returnal, a roguelike adds a save feature, hinders you yourself from still enjoying the game how you want to enjoy it. Giving people that option doesn't ruin the game. Mm-hmm. You can still play it how you want to play it. You can still play it on the hardest difficulty. You can still go through the game without saving it. Just having the option there for people who want it, for people who have disabilities who can't do it or can't play for long periods of time, is perfectly fine. I don't understand when people get upset about things like that.
Yeah, and I think
it bothers me.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. I think so. Okay, so touching on a couple of the things there, I think first off, whoever you read, guy, girl, whatever, whoever posted that one, I think they misunderstand what the save feature would technically be.
A lot of people misunderstood that, apparently.
Yeah, because when you first mentioned it, I was like, oh yeah, so like a place where, you know, if you quit the game, then when you restart it, you're in that same room and it just keeps going, kind of thing. It's like an uninterrupted run.
Exactly.
Right? So if you gotta go all of a sudden and you want to turn things off, not cause like a weird fire hazard and stuff, then you can come back afterwards and then just pick up.
And you can't
from
like
there.
Just constantly go back to the save. The save goes away after you die.
Yeah, not a traditional save feature, but like a
autosave kind of
maybe like an autosave, not even necessarily like that, because I think sometimes autosaves too is you can go and like load that autosave, and I think that's what people that are misunderstanding things are like, no, ruin it kind of thing. But yeah, like the what's that basically, you know, just the ability to put it into like rest mode and then just kind of like boot it back up and you're at that same spot kind of thing.
And I think that's what the Housemark has suggested people do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
there's been, I know Gene Park, who's a journalist for Washington Times, and the blind gamer Steve.
Yeah, Steve
mentioned it that when they've done it with the PS5, there'll be an update or the system will just turn itself off and that run's gone.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, because when I started the game, because I've been playing a little bit of it, I do remember a screen that showed up that was like, hey, like if you need to, you know, if you need to, like, you know, pause and, like, you know, shut things off and stuff, like, putting the system in rest mode will let you kind of pick back up again without, you know, having to start all over type of thing. And I think I you know, I read that and I was like, well, yeah, duh, kind of thing. I didn't even really think about it just because that's, you know, even the PS4 had stuff like that where you could just, you know, put it in rest mode midway through any game that you're playing. And when you boot it back up, you should be able to just start playing it again. In terms of, yeah, so like that feature exists. And yeah, I think the idea that you mentioned, Steve and other gentlemen.
Gene Park.
There you go, Gene. The things with the PS5 is that the PS5's rest mode doesn't work as well as
the
PS4's one. So that is a main issue there. And that's not, I would say that's not on, what's it called, Housemarque?
No, not at all.
To try and make something like, to fix things that are wrong with the PS5.
Like a shot at Housemarque, because they acknowledge, like, oh yeah, we'll be here, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever, but it's just, it's the people who are gatekeeping.
I see.
That's what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No. And that's, I understand that. Well, you know, since we're talking about these things, actually, that's a kind of a fun conversation. So I'm going to make a little mini topic of the show, because I don't think it's going to go on too long there. But let's go into the Dark Souls topic on the whole idea of, you know, adding an easy mode and like, what does it do like for the game and stuff. So you said, you know, you're against. Well, no, hold on. Let me rephrase that. You'd be for like an easy mode in a Dark Souls type of thing. Okay. And I think I'm on the side that it would be against an easy mode.
Interesting.
In Dark Souls. Specifically, you know, not. So I know you mentioned what's it called? Accessibility for, you know, people that, you know, maybe can't use the same kind of like controls and stuff like that. And that type of Twitch gaming kind of thing is more difficult for that type of, you know, audience, basically.
Right.
I'm talking about for specifically, because, you know, that type of thing should be added into like all games if you can get it in there, just accessibility wise, so people can play all these things. In terms of like difficulty wise, when people are like, I want to play Dark Souls, but I want to play it on easy mode, it doesn't make any sense to me. In terms of like, it's not like, you know, I'm not saying that I would enjoy the game less if there is an easy mode in these types of games. I think other people playing it would enjoy it less, and that's where I'm like, don't do it, because, you know, if they're not, it's not even like, you know, if it's, because I think a lot of the like more toxic part of the argument comes in where it's like, oh, if you're not playing it like how everyone's playing it, you're not a real gamer, man.
Yeah.
You're not drinking these Mountain Dews and eating these Doritos and playing the Dark Souls, man. It's not like that kind of thing. It's like, if it's like the whole, you know, appeal for these games is that they're, you know, difficult, but they teach you by kind of like bludgeoning you to death over a long period of time. They teach you how to play the game and you become better at them, and then you get that, you know, that the kind of like more visceral thrill from like actually like completing bosses and eventually finishing the game and stuff, to the point where, like, you know, when I eventually finished Dark Souls 1, I was on this like super high, like, dang, dude, this is like one of the best games I've ever played, back, I don't know how many, several years ago kind of thing at this point. But I don't think I would have had that experience if there had been an option for an easy mode. Granted, I'm a glutton for punishment and I wouldn't have chosen an easy mode in something like this either. I mean, I go into Wolfenstein on Uber difficulty because I'm like, I want that trophy, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm a glutton for it. But yeah, for that specific type of thing where the game is trying to teach you by being difficult on purpose, that's where I'm kind of like, you know, it's basically a game, you know, feature in a sense. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't really know how an easy mode would then affect a game like that. It kind of makes it more difficult.
I completely get it and stuff, but then I would say to that, you brought up like Wolfenstein. Like, I myself, and I know other people on Twitter, have switched to an easy mode in Wolfenstein, and it really hasn't affected like the outcome. Wolfenstein's a hard game to begin with, at least in my opinion.
And Wolfenstein, you know, for like, and that's that difficulty piece where it's like, you know, Wolfenstein, in shooters, in my head, it makes sense of like, oh, you know, if we put this to easy mode, enemies take less, you know, damage to go down.
Mm-hmm.
You take more damage to go down. It's kind of just like a switch and a balance there. I don't know how that, I guess in Dark Souls, would it be like a similar thing where enemies do less damage to you, and then you, I know they have less health overall type of thing? I don't know.
That'd be the question of how they would address it.
Mm-hmm.
But I go back to like, I know me and you play games differently, and I know other people play different games differently, and
yeah,
people get different enjoyments out of different things. Some just want a story, some want an easy gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
Replicant has a feature auto battle, which the game will battle for you and will attack and do like 80% of the gameplay for it. And apparently people are saying it's really good. Like you do certain things, but a lot of it is the game does it for you, and it's like super flashy and stuff. And it's really cool. I haven't tried it myself, so I can't talk on it.
That's an interesting thing. Yeah. Okay, I've never heard of that. That's crazy. Neither
until that. But I would say I still, in my mind, I don't see how adding an easy mode for people who want an easy mode in a Souls game affects somebody like me or you who played in a normal difficulty. Like,
yeah.
It really doesn't. I can't see them changing the difficulty for a normal mode because they implemented easy mode. Just having having that option there for people who want it, in my mind, it doesn't affect the way I play the game in any way.
Yeah. Now, do you think that? Because I think that's why I'm on the like, you know, maybe just don't add it in kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know, if you know, for one, like if you're interested in it, you know, give it the time to get better at it, type of thing. Like a fighting game, I wouldn't go into a fighting game and be like, I just want to play this on easy because I just want to go through. Because it's like, then do I really want to like play the game?
Right.
Like, do I want to actually like learn and get better at this game?
I also think some people play games not just to learn it, just to what's the word, to
just like
consume it.
I was gonna say absorb it.
Consume it. Like I know some people like Blessing and some kind of me like fighting games.
Yeah.
Initially, I've recently played through Mortal Kombat. Not really playing it or trying to learn. I'm just going through the story, enjoying it.
Gotcha. And okay.
I know some people, I'm pretty sure some people don't play games to learn. And some people, it's probably harder for them to learn. And they just don't have the time. And like, I don't want to spend doing this. So they just want to experience the game at a simple level.
Okay. And that part makes sense there. Because I know that is a more common thing, or it seems like it's a more common thing for people that are, you know, especially doing a lot of like, you know, coverage on a whole bunch of different video games, and like, you know, maybe they, because you know, because they're trying to cover a wide swath of things, they jump into say like Mortal Kombat's newest game, and then they're just like, okay, this is hard. I don't have the time to like, you know, like, or get better at this. Or I don't really want to learn. I'm just trying to do this to cover it, kind of thing. You know, I think more recently, it seems like people have tried to be like smarter about these things, where they're just like, you know, like, I don't really care about fighting games, so I'm not going to actually cover like these things. So I'm not going to therefore like play them. But then when people have the interest, that's when I'm like, oh, you know, if you're interested, might as well play it like, you know, how the developers wanted you to play it, essentially. You know, I don't think there's a developer that goes into a game that's like, I want people to play this on easy mode. You know what I'm saying?
I agree and I disagree. I don't, because I think that's like art in general. I don't think an artist, I'm sure they have, or a person who writes a book or writes music has a certain way they want someone to interpret it. But again, people are going to interpret it and perceive it and do it however they want to, regardless.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I'm not, I don't think I'm ever like, hopefully I'm not ever like making it sound like
no.
People, you know, people should always enjoy it at like this thing and should never do it on the other stuff. So I see the reasons for easy modes in there. And like Fury, like one of my favorite games. When you go and, you know, you play the game on, I forget what the names of the difficulties are. I think Fury is like the quote unquote normal mode.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like another one below it, which is like the easy mode type of thing. And I think at the beginning, Furier, which is hard mode, right?
What a name.
Yeah, the names. I think that one is locked from the beginning until you've beat the game on Fury. And I think if you beat it on the easy mode, it doesn't unlock Furier at all. You have to beat it on the normal mode first. And then when you do that and you go and play Furier mode, right? Like there are, it's not just like enemies have more health and things like that. There are gameplay differences and boss pattern differences and stuff in there.
Right.
And then when you beat the game on Furier, there is a, you know, developer like note and stuff in the credits that kind of runs through, and it's like, hey, like, this is the way the game was meant to be played. Like, thank you for experiencing it at like the, you know, thank you for experiencing experiencing the game how we wanted people to experience it, kind of thing. And
right.
Stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, that's cool. And so that made me kind of think of like, oh, there are probably ways people want, like developers want their art to be, you know, taken in and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, for like, you know, art reasons and financial reasons, they want as many people as possible to like take it in.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are certain ways that developers are like, you know, I would prefer people to get this like more, you know, quote unquote, full experience of everything rather than kind of the, I mean, to use, to, what is it? What's good games thing, baby ass baby mode
type of
feature there. So I think there are like, you know, I would assume creators are like, yeah, I want people to enjoy it. Like,
oh, for sure.
In a certain way, but also just enjoy it kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, I wonder sometimes like how, you know, which sides of those are more important to people,
yeah.
Whether it's like, oh, you know, just enjoy it. Or it's like, you know, this is the way I want people to enjoy it.
I think that's why, again, I don't know how hard it is to add things like this. And I'm sure it's harder than what it's made out to be, or it's easier, whatever.
Mm.
But just having the option
for
people to play how they want to play it. Like,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to change your game completely. You don't have to do whatever.
Yeah.
Just add like small things in here. Like, oh, if you want to do it like this, if you want to play the way we want you to play it here, but if that's not for you, or if it's too hard or whatever, here's a easier, like a Final Fantasy remake. They had,
oh, gotcha.
Or what is it called? Cinematic mode or whatever.
Yeah, cinematic mode.
Which basically very, very minimal gameplay, but you can just watch the game be played basically, and you move around and stuff. I know you don't really fight in it. Well, you kind of do.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. Like, was that the first? Because I was trying to remember if that was the first one that I remember hearing people talk about, like, a cinematic mode. Or was Death Stranding also something like that, where they had just, like, a...
Death Stranding might be an also thing where you don't really do much. But just having that option there for people who just want to enjoy...
Yeah, yeah. I know there's a lot of... Like, nowadays, it's... I think they, as in, developers, have kind of tried to step away from the whole, like, you know, like, normal, easy, hard type of, like, mentality. Because you see a lot of, like, you know... When difficulty pops up in the beginning, it's like, oh, like, do you, like, there's like a, you know, story difficulty, and there's like a, I don't know what they would call it, because they don't always call it like story and then like normal type of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like story and then like warrior and then like and veteran, something like that.
Demon.
Yeah. crazy different things. But yeah, but then you get the idea, like, oh yeah, story, and then it describes like, hey, like, for people who want to just experience the story without being challenged quite as much kind of thing, like,
exactly. Choose
this one, right?
Yeah.
I like having the options in there.
Being the option there, and it's, and bringing it back full circle, it's just, it's people like that person that
if it's affecting you,
it's like, it's, they're taking it personally for some reason, and they're preventing other people, like, if you can't play like this or do like this, you can't have this, you can't enjoy this, and that's where I draw the line. Like, that's stupid.
In my opinion. It is ridiculous to say, like, if you can't do it this way, then like, you know, I enjoy it less kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous kind of thing, because I don't know why you would. I think people, hopefully, if I'm giving people the benefit of the doubt, it's
for sure.
I would hopefully think that it's because, like, they don't know how to voice what they're trying to say and the feelings about it correctly. And that possibly they're thinking of it as like, man, I enjoy this game so much. And then for, you know, them not to have that same experience that I had type of thing, because, you know, they're just breezing through everything because it's so, like, easy, on easy mode, you know, makes the game feel, like, less than it is type of thing.
Right.
You know, and I think that would be the case for people that play, you know, a game like, since we're going full circle, like the Dark Souls kind of things. I think playing it on an easy mode, you would probably, you know, play through it and be like, you know, I don't really get the appeal type of thing, right? Because obviously you're not being challenged as much.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really forced to kind of learn mechanics and, like, enemy placements and, you know, timing on like dodges and strikes and stuff, because the game is now, like, you know, pushed into like an easier, like, mode kind of thing. And so then it's just like, oh, you know, this game was fine. It's like, I don't get what the big deal is. And that kind of, thinking about that type of reaction, I'm just like, that sucks, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
for that purpose, I'd be like, just don't do it. Like, don't put in an easy mode. Just, you know, if people are super interested, they'll go and play it, you know.
I completely get that, but then I would probably say it really shouldn't matter. If you really enjoy it, really shouldn't matter what other people think about it. If you enjoy the experience, and then you hear somebody say, "Oh, I played on easy mode. This isn't as good as I thought it'd be." I'm like, "Oh, you played it on easy mode. I played it normally. I enjoyed it."
Yeah.
Whatever.
And that's the thing, is like, do you ever feel like, man, like, I really want other people to
feel
the same way that I feel?
Which way? I completely get it. But then you gotta I would completely understand that, but then you got to think other people are different than what I think. So it's not really,
yeah.
No one's going to think exactly how I think. So
for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a gray area.
I know that part is hard for me because I'm just like, man, I love this. Just this, where it's like, I love this certain thing so much. I want everyone to love it like I do.
Completely.
Because it's so cool. And then I have more people to talk about it with.
Yeah.
And yeah, the thought of like people going through and like, yeah, this kind of sucks. I don't like it.
It hurts a little bit.
I was like, oh, that sucks.
It's an opinion.
Play it again.
I enjoy it. You do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But it's people don't gatekeep like that, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Is the main moral of the
story. Yeah. Don't yell on the internet. Your internet's got a lot of yelling already. There's no point in yelling anymore.
Toxic.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was fun. That was good there. I like that. Okay, Michael, we're going to jump into some more of the things here. Since we talked a little bit about like a semi-main topic, we're going to go just into little updates and new delays. And I thought there was another delay that happened this week, and I can't figure out what it was in my head. So I might have missed something. But update-wise, we found out that Super Mario Party has got a free update.
3 years
late. Yeah, 2 or 3 years too late now. I guess not too late. I think when I heard the news earlier in the week, I thought it was a bigger thing than what it seems like it actually is after I read more about it. So basically, they dropped an update where now online play is available type of thing. And so you can play 70 out of the 80 minigames available currently, like, you know, in the game itself.
Right.
It sounded like specifically like some rhythm-based ones aren't available in the online play, which I think makes sense when online play for Switch games can be kind of spotty at best.
Just take the Monster Hunter Rise, which I think they're actually doing online play for the Switch, and just put it on everything, because that is a gem of an online Nintendo has there.
Okay. And then so you got those things unlocked, and it doesn't matter if you go play online, if you haven't unlocked all those mini games or haven't seen them before, like they'll be there type of thing. Apparently they also added some new modes for that online stuff where, you know, normal Mario Party mode, there's also a thing called Partner Party now where you can kind of team up like what you and a partner versus, I don't know how many total players in there, but kind of players. Other 50 players. This is Mario Party Battlegrounds. what's it called? So yeah, you and a partner versus like, you know, two other people, possibly more. I don't know how many total people there, but kind of in teams of twos, right?
Right.
And then normal kind of free play, which I think is just mainly mini games that you can kind of just go through and play at your leisure. But yeah, interesting. Oh, cool. Interesting, cool little update kind of thing there. It's free, obviously, for people who have the game. So if you wanted to play Mario Party.
Nintendo trying to ink out money from everything.
Yeah, for real. Hey, guys, we updated this thing. Only $5.
It's only three payments of $55.55.
Oh, my gosh. That's awful. something you probably saw, Michael, Monster Hunter Rise 2.0 update.
Yeah.
You got some new monsters in there.
Some crazy looking awesome monsters.
Have you fought some already?
I fought one. I don't remember the name of it, but it was like a lion fire lion thing.
Okay. So the three names that I read, which I'm just like, okay, I know I maybe can say some of these, but not great. One of them is called Camellios.
Okay, no, I don't know what he looks like. The chameleon one, I think the lizard guy.
Yeah, that's what I would assume. There is the elder dragon Teostra, and then there's an elder dragon Kushala Daora. I'm just like, man, these names, guys.
I can't remember any of those names.
I don't know what any of these things look like, so, you know, people listening, just feel free to imagine something that looks like a dragon, you know?
I think they're also, like, added new stuff.
Yeah, so they added new gear sets for all of those, you know, three creatures, basically, because they're dropping items. You can now craft, like, weapons and gear, armor kind of stuff with those items they drop.
It was the Teostra?
Teostra,
one that I fought? I'll turn this to you.
Yeah, let's take out
this lion-looking dragon guy.
Okay, yeah. He's got like a... Okay, he looks like a dragon body. With like kind of like a lion mane and also like crazy sideburns and like a beard, like a big old beard.
He's super cool.
And like I wouldn't call it a mohawk, but it's like a big old like red tuft of hair in between his horns. Interesting. And then along with that, you also got the Apex Rathalos and Apex Diablos that they added to apparently Rampage quests, which Michael probably knows about. Mm-hmm. And then also added in new quests to hunt existing Apex monsters outside of Rampages, which I assumed were only available in Rampages before. Yes. So cool.
Free feature too, which is nice.
Yeah. Because they're doing a few different multiple free updates over time, and then eventually I would assume they'd probably maybe have like DLC that.
Oh yeah, I think it's going to go to the same path as World did.
That makes sense.
And eventually get to like an Iceborne type of.
Gotcha. Okay.
Expansion.
Mudborne. I was like, well, what else could you do with like a Japanese aesthetic? Mudborne? I don't know. Grassborne?
Grassborne. Bamboo.
Bladeborne. That sounds cool. Okay. And then. Actually, yeah, that was the last update. We have a PS5 version that was announced by EA. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order is going to be coming to PS5 and, of course, like the Xbox Series consoles as well. Coming this summer, it'll be a free update if you already own the game.
Yep.
And I think right now, Star Wars Fallen Order is actually on sale, I think, in a bunch of places.
It's like $20 on the PlayStation.
Yeah, super cheap, super cheap. So if you buy the PS4 thing while it's on sale now, you'll get the PS5 version, you know, also Xbox, all those different permutations. So might as well jump on it if you wanted to play this game, because it's a pretty cool game.
That's what I've heard.
Cal's a cool dude. Have you played it, Michael?
No, I have not touched it yet.
All right, Michael, $20.
It's going to be.
Here we go.
Next paycheck. There we go.
There you go. That was the only PS5, you know, like new gen update.
They did.
I think
we might have already talked about it, and it's unfortunate because it's not free. But Judgment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Judgment. Judgment came out, I think, a week or two ago, and... Yeah, that one, it was a funny thing where I think when Judgment was being talked about, I was like, hey, it's getting this PS5, you know, update and whatnot. It's been one of the only ones that hasn't been free.
Yeah.
I think The Sinking City also wasn't free, which is a little bit more of like an indie kind of title there, but maybe like AA indie type of thing or II indie. I don't know. But basically that one also was also not free.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to kind of purchase that again. The Sinking City, I think, was on sale like, I don't know, 20-30% when it released again.
Oh, okay.
For next gen kind of stuff, or current gen now. But Judgment, I think it's just a little bit reduced in price overall.
Like, yeah,
the whole
I don't think it's
40. It's $40, I believe.
That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Fantastic game.
And I think people were saying like, oh, like, you know, maybe it makes sense because Judgment came out in 2019. The Sinking City also came out in 2019. Mm-hmm. But Fallen Order came out in 2019 as well, and they're just
that's
free.
That's true.
So now it's just like, all right, guys.
EA's like, oh, here's a discount game. Like us again.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maybe. I mean, yeah, it's a cool new thing there. So, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's just kind of studio size at this
could
point
be.
That's like, hey, like, you know, we could put this out for free, but also we'd be putting in work for free. So maybe we just, you know, pay a little bit for this thing.
It's true.
So, yeah, that is, it's there if people want it, though. And then the delay that I mentioned, the multiplayer game that was originally going to be coming out alongside Resident Evil Village, called Reverse, weird name, was delayed apparently to later this year.
Yeah.
So now not coming out at the same time. I believe if you still buy Village, Resident Evil 8, then you get Reverse for free. Otherwise, I think you must be paying some amounts later on when it does release now. But
right. You'd think,
yeah,
so.
That's the news for that.
Nice.
What games you been playing, Michael?
I totally forgot.
I knew I had to go back somewhere, and I was like, where was I?
I'll only talk about the ones that are relatively new, mm-hmm. because I've played the same games the past couple of weeks as I've had.
Okay,
One on the Switch I'll start with is Kaze.
Yeah, Kaze and the Wild Masks.
There you
right?
go. I didn't know the second part, but yep, thank you. Yep. It's exactly what I wanted.
Nice.
I never played Donkey Kong Country on
the
64.
Mm-hmm.
So I never had that experience, but people compare this game a lot to it.
Oh,
and
interesting. Okay.
It's
not it, Tropical Freeze.
No,
as well?
Same vein, because Tropical Freeze is just like an upgraded or
yeah, that's what I would assume. I'm just like, that's an old game to compare.
But
to.
it's great platforming. Mm-hmm. It's quite difficult, actually.
It's pretty
challenging. But the good thing, when you die, you respawn like right away,
so
you can instantly go back and do the level. There's checkpoints and stuff. The art's great. The music's great.
Mm-hmm.
Story's good. The only downside, and it could have just been my Switch or whatever.
Yeah,
it froze at one of the levels, so I had to restart it. But it hasn't done it since.
Hmm. Was it like a too many things on the screen?
It might have
once
been too many things
thing?
Were happening in the game. Just like
gotcha. Okay.
Couldn't handle it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's overall great. I'm definitely worth the $25 it is if you get on the Switch,
nice.
Or you said it was on sale.
Was it $25 on the Switch?
I think it was $25. Yeah.
Okay. I think it may be $30 on. PS4, maybe.
I could be wrong then. I might have been 30.
Oh, okay. I was like, wow, okay.
Might have been 30.
Nice. Okay, either way, it's cool.
But worth every dollar, in my opinion.
Nice.
Next one. You know how last week I mentioned I didn't know Final Fantasy VI is on on the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Another game I didn't know was on the Vita until Blessing from Kind of Funny mentioned it on Twitter.
Yeah.
That he was playing the Ratchet and Clank collection.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
it's a whole new trophy set, too.
It's not on the Vita. Again, booted up my Vita. What do you know? Right there. Bought it. And I've been playing the first game, and it's Ratchet and Clank.
Nice.
What more can I say? It's obviously it's the first game, so it's not as nice looking, and there's some like weird stuff, but it's great.
Okay. Ratchet and Clank. Did you ever play the Ratchet and Clank games when you were younger?
I never owned a PS2, so I'd have to go to my friend's house to do it. But I played Ratchet and Clank Up Your Arsenal.
Okay, yeah, it's like either the second or third.
Yeah,
game,
and I played the one before that. I never played the first one.
Oh, okay.
But now I can.
Yeah, until recently, I didn't even know that the 2016 Ratchet and Clank
was based on the
was a remake of the first. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so I knew it was a remake, but I didn't know that apparently there's things in the original game that were missing from the remake.
Yeah, it's like almost like a retelling.
Yeah, because I get that it was kind of a retelling for, I think, specifically like the movie tie-in as well. Like the movie and the game looked pretty similar, or I thought they looked similar at the time.
Yeah.
And then basically, yeah, it sounds like there were things missing in the remake compared to the original Ratchet & Clank, which like at the time I'm like, this is great. I don't know what's missing here.
I haven't noticed anything so far. I'm like a couple hours in, and it almost seems like the same. There's some like character moments that are different in
I think beats, from what I've heard, it sounds like some character moments are different, some of the story changes a little bit, and it actually sounds like the story in the original game is a little bit better fleshed out, even if like character wise it sounds like Ratchet and Clank didn't really like each other in the first game. From what I've heard,
I haven't say, really I don't know. Again, I'm only like 5 to 10 hours into it. They really haven't like clashed or showed disdain from each other yet for each other, but
it sounded
again,
like
it could get down the line. I'm like, oh, okay, there it is.
Yeah, like it sounded like originally, I mean, at least from what I've heard people say, it sounds like they remember that Ratchet was kind of just mean to Clank.
Yeah.
And that was maybe not like, I hate you, I'm going to fight you type of
like
thing.
Passively
but like
aggressive mean.
Yeah, but just kind of like, yeah, kind of
backhand
a jerk,
comments.
I guess. Yeah, backhand comments, kind of just being a little bit of a jerk. It sounded like that was kind of the case.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think I got the Ratchet & Clank collection on the PS3 so I could try, because I knew it's on the Vita, but I also wanted to play it just on a bigger screen.
Lucky you have a PS3.
Hey man, I got it, and my PS3 is like, hey, it sucks to be you. You don't have enough space to download this.
Oh my god!
And I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. So, I haven't even downloaded it yet, but it's there. I'll play it eventually.
Eventually.
Have you ever played? Because they have the Ratchet and Clank collection on the Vita. They also have the Sly Cooper collection,
yep.
And then the Jack and Daxter collection.
Yep.
Okay. Do you
I have
all
the Jack
those
and
things?
Daxter on the PS4?
Yeah,
I'm gonna say, and I think in
the PS4
PS3.
They have that. Yeah.
I have the Sly one on the Vita.
Gotcha.
That's one of my platinums, the first Sly game.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, I remember you platinuming that on the Vita.
And then I played the three or four.
Did you play two?
No.
Oh, you're talking about the Thieves in Time?
Yes, that was the first Sly game I played.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's the fourth
and
one.
And then I went back to Sly 1, and then I still have 2 and 3 to beat.
Okay.
Great games. They should bring them back. don't remake Last
like,
of Us.
Bring them back?
Don't make Last of Us remake. Make a Jack and Jackson remake or a Sly Cooper remake.
Yeah, I mean for sure don't do a Last of Us remake because it's not that old.
No, not at all. It doesn't really need.
But
it.
Also, I don't know.
I don't know
if they should bring.
I would give them all the money for it.
They're like, sir, your $60 isn't enough to justify this.
But the last game I want to mention, and I know I said I'm not going to mention old games I played, but this game, I'll just say it, Nier
Replicant. Replicant.
One of the few, if not the only game where the music and story almost brings me to tears.
Wow.
I don't know what it is. Huh. They're so like weaved into each other.
Oh yeah.
Like hearing the music,
they play off of each other really well.
It's almost like it's telling a story, and it's the way the singer sings and the tones. It's beautiful.
I find that's usually really nice when there is like, even if it's not like always words, if it's just like vocals kind of thing.
And the good thing, there is vocals, but it's like a made up language.
Oh, nice. Okay,
so yeah, it's almost like you don't know what they're saying, but it's almost like, oh, this mystique, this mystery of what's going on.
You can like interpret based on events going on.
Mm-hmm.
I gotcha.
And I think Nier is the only game where I feel terrible for killing the enemies and monsters.
Yeah.
It's not, Replicant's not to the point of Automata, but there are scenes where you just feel bad for certain people and like, oh man, what, this sucks. But it was especially in Automata where you kill certain robots or machines and they have like voices and they, and they'll say like, oh, I'm sorry, sister, brother, family.
Gotcha.
And you're like, oh, what is going on? Why did I do it? And there'll be certain moments like you're fighting an enemy, especially in Replicant, where they'll just stand there. And the game forces you to fight them. You have to attack first.
Oh,
so it's even worse because they're not attacking you. They're just standing there.
Yeah.
You have to engage them, and you're like, oh, this is even worse. Like I'm doing this. I'm causing this.
And yeah,
it's such an emotional game, man.
You never played Nier on the PS3, did
you?
No. Okay, because I did hear, I think it was from Alexa Ray Correa. I think that she was the one who, I first heard talk about Nier because, I mean, if you look like review-wise, it's pretty low on there. It's like below the 70s kind of thing. It's like in the 60s, I think, or something. But she was the one who, I think it was on a PAX panel or something at one point. They were asking about, you know, the panelists, like, guilty pleasure, like, games kind of thing, or, like, bad games that they love type of thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she mentioned Nier. And when she talked about it, I was like, this sounds fascinating. Like, this sounds really... And it sounds basically kind of what, like, Automata and Replicant probably are about as well, where it's... Yeah, it's like she went through and played it the first time, didn't really know what was going on, and then upon, like, the second or even, like, third playthrough... Yeah, wait, I think second playthrough. You go through there, but now you can understand the you know, people and, like, the language and stuff that's being spoken. Mm-hmm. It's not just, like, a foreign thing to you. And it gives the game a different type of perspective where it's like now you're the bad guy type of thing.
Exactly.
And then I think, I don't remember if it was after the second playthrough or after the third playthrough, something happens like story-wise and it makes sense there. I'm just forgetting the actual details. But you finish the game and because of what happens in the story, it wipes your save file from the system. And if you want to play the game again, you just have to, it's just a brand new, like, thing.
Oh.
You have, like, you can't even, like, I mean, obviously, if you backed it up on, like, a USB or something, maybe, for the PS3.
Right.
Which was, I think, a task to do for three people. You could do that. But basically, yeah, it just, like, you know, it wipes it as if you've never played the game before kind of thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I was just like, dang, this is nuts.
Nier is, God, it is jumping up there in one of my favorite series. Yeah. It's
Now the next thing, you gotta, because... I don't remember if they have it on PS Now or not, but Nier, just the original.
I definitely want to play the original, you that. For sure. But man.
Yeah, pretty crazy stuff.
I'm going to cry a lot the next couple weeks. I feel it. This game's going to destroy me.
Oh my gosh, jeez. Emotional breaks are good things for life.
I'll say the last thing. I was at work and I was watching a YouTuber called Alex Moleka.
Oh, okay.
He's a music producer who does... he talks about video game music and how it's composed and he like makes his own stuff.
Gotcha.
But he broke down like the music in the new Nier Replicant game. And just hearing that opening theme and it being talked or the vocals being sung, I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting chills. My eyes started getting watery. I'm like, what is going on here? This is weird.
That's good.
But what have you been playing?
I was just trying to look through things that I've played. So I played some, just trying to go off of dates because I've been keeping track of, like, you know, if I play something on a day, I'll like write it down, and I've been keeping track since the beginning of the year, pretty much. Just because I wanted to see over time how, like, you know, things change throughout like the weeks and months type of thing. When I was looking at stuff, I think on there, I can see that I played some. What's it called? Scourgebringer. I played a little bit of Scourgebringer.
Oh, that's cool.
Let me see what else there. What else? Yeah, like I played some Scourgebringer. I played a little bit of the Skylia Prophecy, which actually I think, I don't think we mentioned on the podcast, but I talked to you afterwards. I was like, hey, dude, there's like this thing that kind of looks like a old school, like Castlevania type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what, $6.99 or something on the PS4. I played a little bit of that. It's pretty fun so far.
Nice.
Yeah. It's got so in the very beginning, like it's a very like indie game kind of thing where the very beginning, there's like almost like Star Wars style, where like the, you know, text about the story thus far like starts to scroll up type mm-hmm. of thing. Not the greatest like color contrast mm-hmm. on there, where like the text is, it's red text, which already is a little, that it's a little difficult to
interesting
read.
Interesting choice.
Yeah. But then the background sometimes looks a little red as well.
So
and you kind of have a hard time. Yeah, it kind of blends in a little bit occasionally.
I hate that.
But also, I feel like, you know, Star Wars, obviously they had to, they must have like tested this for themselves before putting it in them films and stuff. But like, there's like a point, I feel like even in the Star Wars things, where like you're reading, right? And you start to realize that like you're not keeping up with possibly like how quickly the text is going. And so you're like trying to scan through as quick as you can so that you can basically like finish it. And, you know, it starts to get further and further yep. away for Star Wars, right? For this one, obviously, it doesn't have that like going away effect. But there's a lot of text. And so I'm reading a bunch of stuff and I'm just like, okay, I'm keeping up. All right, I'm slowing down.
Oh, God.
It's starting to go too fast. And so I'm starting to like scan through everything. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going. And then eventually I can see the end, right? Like out of the peripheral vision. I can see it's almost there, and I'm reading through and stuff. I think the last part of the text reached like the middle of the screen, mm-hmm. and then it jumped me into the game. And I was like, I wasn't done reading yet.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah, I was like, what the heck, dude? Like, at least scroll all the way up. Like, what
maybe
the heck?
Game was like, oh, I'm tired of printing all this text.
I'm tired of you reading this stuff. I want to be played. But yeah, so it's like that happened, and I was like, oh, that sucks. So like, I missed maybe like a few lines of text mm-hmm. or something like that.
Watch those be the most important lines.
Yeah, right. Probably. I got the gist of things where, you know, you are hunting monsters and things. You kind of brought upon like the doom of this like area and whatnot because you know went and fought monsters when you weren't supposed to fight the monsters. From the sounds of things, it's like if you imagine, you know, say I'm gonna make things up here, right? Okay. So I'm going off the cuff. Imagine like there's a church, right? And the church in this universe, you know, knows that demons are bad, but they know they can't destroy the demon, like the demon lord, right? They know they can't destroy the demon lord because then there's this, you know, big power grab amongst all the rest of the demons, and an even worse demon lord might pop up, right?
Okay.
So if big bad demon lord is still alive, demons won't try to vie for the new demon lord, right?
Right.
So they like, you know, they decide on their own. They're like, hey, we're not gonna kill the demon lord, but we're gonna seal him away. Right, we're gonna seal him away, and he'll be like an ever lurking threat for like the rest of the demons. Right,
right.
And then your character, you know, doesn't like the demon lord, so you're like, nah, I ain't about this. So you go and kill the demon lord, right? Make the church mad. As they predicted, the demons start to vie for, you know, power and stuff, and now demons are attacking all over the place. And so now people are kind of blaming you for the cause of like, you know, this current like semi apocalypse kind of going on here. And so you are now kind of essentially trying to run away from the village that you start at because, you know, the demons are coming after you and you're fighting them. And then, yeah, text is gone. So now I don't know what happens after that.
Well, see, important.
Yeah, so maybe something happened in there. I don't know. But yeah, it's pretty cool, though. It's like, cool. You know, very much so like an old kind of classic type of game, but just, you know, a little bit reworked mechanic-wise. Mm-hmm. It screwed me up in the beginning. Where there was, you know, usually in these types of games, I'm used to being able to like duck and like, you know, attack low kind of thing like that, mm-hmm. as well as just like the normal standing attacks that reach, you know, tall enemies.
Right.
There was an enemy, the very first enemy of the game that comes at me is this like little like, you know, bug spider demon thing that's kind of crawling real slowly across the screen. And so I tried to duck, but I can't duck. And I'm just like, why can't I duck attack? This is weird. I'm trying to do it. And I'm like, how am I supposed to get this guy? And I'm pressing all the buttons and stuff. I hit another button, I think the right trigger, and it throws up like this blue wall of flame. And I'm just like, oh, this is crazy. It's like a block. I'm like holding it and I'm blocking or something. And then I'm like, that's not it. That's obviously a block button. So I keep trying to hit stuff. And then the demon eventually just like hits me. And, you know, I think it's, I don't remember if it hit me and it's still alive or if it's like hit me and it like died or something like that. But it did some damage to me, and I was like, that shouldn't have happened. Like, you should have told me how to play this game.
Press every button.
I think I may have eventually pressed the shield button and realized that, you know, when you throw up the wall of fire shield type of thing, that those tiny enemies you can't reach are then like, you know, they hit that and they're just like, ah, burns, and they're gone type of thing. So weird kind of choice there, but pretty cool so far.
Nice.
I'm stuck. It's early in the game and I'm stuck because it's like puzzles, you know.
That is just like old Castlevania games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm like, I thought I've gone through most of the thing now, and I'm like, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. So I'll find out eventually.
There you go.
But you know, if people want to try it out, it's like it's just under $7. So not too bad.
We said that at the same time.
Yeah, stealing out of each other's brains over here. I've been playing some more Cozy Grove slowly.
Nice. It's good you're keeping up with it.
Yeah. I'm trying to keep up with it. It's still doing that thing where, you know, like I'm getting items now a lot more often that it's like, hey, like save this for later, and I'm like, why not just save it for now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, just give me that quest now, guys. So that's still happening. I've been trying to, and it's a weird thing that I kind of thought about actually. I don't know if it was this morning or if it was yesterday night that I thought about it, and I was like, you know, like in these types of games, I don't feel like I'm making progress.
Mm-hmm.
But the one nice thing is that trophy wise, like if I was playing this on the Switch, I'd be like, nah, I'm good type of thing, right? Like trophy wise, the trophies are kind of slowly, consistently popping, you know, as I kind of do more things on the island and stuff. So that's what's kind of been like part of the thing that I'm like, oh, okay, like I still feel that sense of progression, you know? Like I still feel like I'm doing things and making progress. Aside from, you know, these bears' hearts slowly filling up, and there's like 5 hearts above each bear, and it like does like a sliver each time you do like an important quest for them.
Mm-hmm.
Not even just like all the quests, but like it has to be a specific important one apparently. Because sometimes I'll do a quest and then it's just like, I color the world around me, which is, you know, what happens after you help a bear spirit.
Right.
And then a bunch happens of coins pop up too. Places. Oh, yeah. Real life. Just the same. But yeah, it's so like you do that kind of stuff. And then sometimes if it's just a, you know, run-of-the-mill type of quest, it doesn't pop up with any kind of like progression in their, you know, them liking you. It's that meter there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like slowly filling up. And so I'm just like, okay, I kind of want to see what happens when I finally get to that point. Like, does the bear like, you know, ascend to bear heaven or something? Like I want to see what happens, but I'm slowly making progression here, and I'm hoping that, like, you know, by the time I get there, it's not like day like 90 or something, because it takes a while sometimes, Michael.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
And then along with that, I've played a little bit of Returnal.
Nice.
I'll talk about that one next. I've done like what, a couple runs so far. And I know from what we've been hearing, it sounds like the game is hard, and I believe them. I believe it'll get harder.
Yep.
Right now, it's not too bad.
Nice.
You know, first run, I think I died in a pretty predictable kind of area where it seemed like you're probably supposed to die, even though you probably could beat the monster if you maybe had played the game before type of thing, or were just better at games in general. But basically, so yeah, so I died that one time, and then kind of started the real like run after that. And got pretty decently far, like all over the place and stuff. I'd opened up quite a bit of like this map that I was on. I found the house, which I was surprised, the one that you kind of see in the game's trailers and whatnot. Yeah. Found the house. I had heard, I think Greg Miller had mentioned that he had played for like several hours and hadn't found a key yet for the house. And I was like, dang, okay, I found the house. That was surprisingly early. I was like, now I need a key. I only knew I needed a key because he had mentioned a key. And I was like, okay, well, I got to go look for this. And as I'm going through, I eventually found the key that same night. And I was like, oh
nice.
Okay, well, I got the key. And so I grabbed it, went to the house.
You got a lot of the draw there.
I know. It must have just been real lucky. And I was just like, all right, cool. I got the key. So I'm going back to the house. You know, I go inside the house. It's got this, like, you know, creepy first person thing now. And I'm just like, it's kind of like, I hear like footsteps and kind of crashing upstairs. And I'm just like, now. This is too close to Resident Evil for me still. But yeah, I go up there and it's some crazy like story things going on. I still don't know what's happening entirely. There's this creepy astronaut who's like stalking you kind of thing.
I didn't want to play this game.
It doesn't help that you can't see who's inside the astronaut suit, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like that general astronaut suit that we think of normally, right? Not like futuristic ones, but like a,
you know, 60s, 70s.
Yeah, like Buzz Aldrich on the moon and stuff like that, right? Yeah, and so like, you know, that kind of regular suit, like you see somebody outside of the house, like just staring up at the house at you.
Oh, that's creepy, man.
It is creepy. And then I eventually reached the first, I don't know if it's boss or mini boss, but I reached a boss type character. And I was like, oh, here we go. So I'm fighting this boss and stuff. it becomes like a way more bullet hell type of thing. And I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of surviving. And then I died. And I was like, dang it. And then this, like, because I had gone through the house and stuff and seen Mr. like astronaut stalker and whatnot, he leaves behind a like creepy astronaut's like item. It's just like an astronaut doll type of thing. And I picked it up not knowing what it does. Apparently, if you've picked up one of those things, you revive yourself and you get a second chance kind of thing. That's cool. Yeah, so I died. And I was just like, dang it. And then I get brought back to life. And I was like, what? Here we go. And I died again. Oh. I was just like, gosh darn it. But I did. I got him to, I think, like the last of like three or four like phases type of thing.
Oh, nice.
It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, you see they have maybe like three. I think it's like three. Kind of three like boxes type of thing, almost like Fury style, actually, where they have like three or four boxes up at the top, and then they have like a long health bar.
Yeah.
And when you deplete the health bar, one of the boxes then depletes as well, and it fills back up.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, so like I got to go through these multiple phases. And by the end, like, you know, he's getting pretty aggressive. He does a lot of these like, you know, dashing towards you swipe attacks type of thing. And that's when he would get me the most is like when he comes in and just like trying to attack me. But then there's just also a lot more bullets he's releasing and stuff. And I'm just like, okay. You got me.
Calm down.
You got me, sir. Calm down over here. But yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot though. The nice. The dual sense
haptic feedback.
Yeah, the haptic feedback. It's pretty cool, man. I've heard people say that you can feel the raindrops within the controller, and I can feel it. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty neat because I go out into like the rain and then I feel it. But when I'm like under like plant cover or like under shelter type of thing,
right,
it goes away. And I'm just like, oh, this is pretty cool.
That's interesting. Yeah. You should try. Because one of the streamers I watch, Max Million Dude, he played it, and I caught like 5 minutes of it. But he opened the menu, he had headphones on.
Yeah.
And he apparently said if you have the headphones on, when you're in the hub area, it's like you're looking inside your mask, and you could hear the raindrops hitting the top of your helmet.
Oh, okay. I hadn't thought of that, because I originally, I was playing it, excuse me, just on regular TV, and then I was like, I remember there being 3D audio for this. I need the headphones. So I've got my headphones out, and I was using that for the rest of everything. And I noticed the 3D audio for like specifically like monsters and things, and so that was like a lot cooler than just with the regular like sound system.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't noticed the, maybe because I'm not going to the menu a whole lot, so I'll try that out the next time to see.
Check that out.
That sounds pretty cool.
Sounds like a game right up my alley, though.
Oh yeah,
roguelike.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, and I have
50 of those.
You do probably, yeah. I know, like, we talked a little bit, like, before the podcast and stuff that, you know, like, I didn't know it was a roguelite until I heard people saying it was a roguelite. And I was like, really? And then, you know, I think it was just because the story. I was just like, oh, this is, like, a story narrative type of game with kind of, like, some bullet hell-ish looking kind of gameplay.
Right.
But, yeah, then finding out, this is essentially a roguelite. It just actually makes sense in the story. That's when I was like, oh, okay. Because I think I fall off of the roguelite type of games. Usually because, you know, when I die and then have to, like, redo things, it doesn't always make the most sense.
Yeah.
Or it's just, like, you know, like, lore-wise, it's not built in super heavily, right? Like, for this, it's built in pretty heavily because, you know, you're stuck on this planet in this, like, weird time loop, and then the planet keeps changing every time you come back.
Mm-hmm.
So that part already is, like, super cool and intriguing, and I want to know what happens there. Like, for stuff like, I don't know, like, Enter the Gungeon or...
I was going to say Hades is... 100%
Hades
like
works,
that.
Yeah, very well. That's one where I'm like, okay, I can dig this
into
one.
A story.
Yeah, or like Binding of Isaac, stuff like that.
Yeah,
those ones I'm like, yeah, they're like kind of cursorily there, but not as much as like Hades or Returnal is. And so that's why I dig those games, I think, more. But yeah, I'm gonna try and get through this thing because I want to see what's happening with the character and everything.
So just let me borrow your PS5. I'll play through Returnal.
Oh my gosh.
Give it back to you eventually.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, right. I'll just never get it back.
Probably not.
Oh man. But yeah, besides that, last one, I finished the Horizon Zero Dawn Frozen Wilds DLC. So took me only like 2 years. Pause break for like 2 years basically. I think I started it in 2019 and then finally came back to it and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna finish this thing. And then now that I finished it, I was like, wow, it's been a long time since I've been in this world, and you know, playing it through it and stuff, I'm like, man, I remember why I love this game so much. Yeah. It's really cool. To the point where, like, okay, I've got all the trophies for the DLC stuff, and the only two that are still remaining is the New Game Plus thing with, you know, New Game Plus completion as well as just, like, New Game Plus on, like, the ultra hard difficulty or something. And I'm like, okay, I wanted to, like, you know, finish the Frozen Wilds and then, like, delete it to free up space on the, you know, the storage and whatnot. I may end up playing through this again.
Nice.
Just so that I can get those last two. And then hopefully by the end, but, you know, I'm either going to do it now or just delete it for now and then re-download it when we finally get word of the, what's called, Forbidden West. Because then I'd get a good refresher of the game.
That might actually be a better approach because then you can just, like, go right into the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, even playing through the stuff, it's been such a long time, and I think that's why I enjoy New Game Plus things being available, but if it's, like, available from the start, I don't enjoy it usually quite as much. Like, Miles Morales was a you know, unique exception where I did the New Game Plus thing, and because I just got to run through the entire story real fast,
right,
I got to experience, like, small things I kind of missed originally in the story when, you know, I have longer breaks in between of just, like, collecting items and things like that.
Right.
So that one worked out there, but, like, it is still that extra chore of, like, I got to go through and play this entire game again for right now. And, you know, if it's a shorter game, it works, but for something like Horizon Zero Dawn, I'm like, nah, that wasn't going
to
happen.
I don't have 50 hours to spare.
Yeah, nope. But, you know, for the purpose of, like, since it's been, like, 4 years since I, like, finished this game and stuff, this would be a good time to now, like, refresh on the story beats, and then hopefully if, you know, Forbidden West comes out this year, I'll be up to date and everything. I won't have to watch videos of, like, oh, what are the story things I need to remember for this next sequel, right, and stuff. But, yeah, that's what I've been playing, though.
Let's hope it doesn't come out this year, because I don't want you getting points.
Michael doesn't want me getting points. Finally got some points on the board for Pokemon Snap, or new Pokemon Snap.
And Returnal.
Dumb name. And Returnal. That's right. I played a little bit of new Pokemon Snap this morning. I forgot.
Nice.
I took some pictures of Pokemon. It's new Pokemon Snap. There you go. It's fun. It was a weird thing because I only played, like, I don't know, 15 minutes before I texted you and I was like, hey, I'm coming over to pick you up and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to play, like, it's a tutorial early mission kind of thing.
Right.
And I was playing it and I was like, huh, I haven't felt this way in a while in terms of, like, I feel like I've been thrown back in time. And I'm like, oh, man, I get that kind of, like, anxiety, not anxiety, but it's like that, oh, man, there's a thing coming up here and I got to take pictures of this one, but I'm going to miss the one over there and I got to turn it real fast. And just kind of that, like, oh, my gosh, I'm missing out so many things. And yeah, it's a cool kind of, like, thing that I haven't, you know, done since I was a kid. And I'm just like, oh, this is a lot of fun here. So I'll play more of that coming up soon, I think. And just, I guess, probably last update from me. Since we're through, crazy to think about, we're through the first third of the year, which is wild, right? We're in May now, Michael. Think about that nugget. We're through the first third of the year, and I've kept up with the whole, like, trophy a day, you know, keeps the doctor away, all that stuff. Keeps the doctor in play. There we go.
There you go.
I did all that thing for the first, you know, third of the year, and so I think I'm gonna call it good now. I'm gonna be like, all right, I'm gonna cut it off because Pokemon Snap, if I'm gonna start playing this,
nice,
I gotta be able to, like, not have to think about these trophies. So I still ended up getting one today because I did some more for Horizon Zero Dawn to finish that up this morning.
Right.
But I'm gonna do some more on kind of other things. I assume Xbox probably still won't get as much love just because it usually is kind of the neglected child
the third.
Yeah, it's kind of the third stepchild. I don't know if that's a thing. But basically, yeah, I'm just like, okay, I'm going to do some more of the Switch for Pokemon Snap. Got Returnal. And then, you know, soon, I know Village is coming out soon.
Yep.
But, like, soon, Mass Effect Legendary Edition, Michael. Here we go. That's where we're going. And that one, there's no way I can do a trophy a day on that to finish all three things. No way. So
there's going to be too many games to play at that point.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot. Got a lot of cool things coming out soon.
Oh yeah.
It's been, you know, surprising that there is a nice. I don't know if I expected it to be, like, more, like, spread out kind of thing, or maybe just a bunch of smaller things and bigger ones wouldn't hit quite as often. But mm-hmm. It seems like it's been a pretty well spread out year so far in terms of, like, game releases.
Like, hopefully that doesn't, like...
Yeah, I mean, I know things have been pushed, like, you know, like when Deathloop was pushed out of May into, what, September or something. When that happened, I was like, oh, man, it's going to throw off, like, the feel of everything. But then I was like, oh, no, wait, because we're getting Mass Effect still in May. I think in June.
Ratchet
and Clank. June, we get Ratchet and Clank.
Final Fantasy Retrograde.
Or Integrade, we get Integrade coming up in June. I think the next month. No, wait, no, end of June. We get Scarlet Nexus,
mm-hmm.
and I'm Mario just like, Golf. Yeah, Mario Golf, and I'm just like, there's a lot of things that are gonna be like slowly coming out, so it's not looking that bad
Guilty
at all.
Gear, oh.
Oh yeah, that's June now too. Oh, June's heavy.
I've realized I'm not going to have a PS5 probably by June with Ratchet and Clank coming
you
out.
You get there and oh, that's right, yeah. Okay, because Ratchet and Clank is the first.
I don't even know if I want to get Guilty Gear on the PS4 because I want to experience that on the PS5.
Yeah. Oh wait, no, Returnal's also only PS5.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, so Returnal's
so
the
unless
first.
Unless I get real lucky, I'm not. You're going to have to tell me how these games are probably.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
Maybe not Guilty Gear, but.
Oh yeah, yeah. Guilty Gear. I think you can still get on PS4, right?
Yeah, but I think I want to get that one on PS5.
Okay.
I more so. I don't feel like you would get that one. Would you get that one day one? $60.
No, because fighting games are not usually my hardcore bag, right? So that's a term and a half. But yeah, so like in terms of like that kind of thing, I may hold off. But mm-hmm. if you, I want to say I thought that you get the PS4 and the PS5 version when you buy it. Kind of thing,
maybe.
We'll look it up and fact check ourselves, but if that's the case, yeah, because you could still then get it on the PS4 mm-hmm. and then eventually play it on the PS5 when you get that. But yeah, but Ratchet and Clank PS5 and Returnal, obviously that one's gonna have to hopefully more stock starts coming in, man.
And Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Final Fantasy also, that's right, forgot about that. All right, well, you know what, since we We can go into this just a little bit. So I had one story that I wanted to pull in. It's been a pretty light news week overall.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll do like one and a half stories. So first one, just a kind of a cool update. Apparently, Greg Miller is going to be hosting E3 along with I'm going to forget the names because I don't know these other
she's
ones.
She's in esports.
Yeah, there's a lady who sounds like she's doing cool stuff in esports. There's also a dude.
Golden
I
Boy?
Think also yeah, Alex. Golden Boy Mendez, is that his name? There we go, yeah. It sounds like he does cool stuff too. But obviously we know Greg Miller. It's a really cool opportunity. It's crazy, like it's been a crazy week where I think that got announced on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that and I was like, man, this is awesome. Can't possibly get any better this week. And then I think like a day or two, yeah, it was actually yesterday, it was Friday. I looked for the podcast thing because usually I'll listen to the one that is for like the Patreon subs and mm-hmm. whatnot, so there's no like ads in between. And then I was like, oh, it's not up for that. I'll just go to the regular feed thing. And I opened it up, and I saw in the description like the first thing it said was a future dad, and I was like, what?
Yeah, they're pregnant.
So that's crazy. There's a lot of crazy things happening, but cool thing that Greg Miller's hosting E3. That's kind of one of the news things that I thought was interesting this week for fans, basically.
Yeah.
And then for the other one. Let me pull it up.
It'd be really funny if the people who listen to our podcast, like, who's Greg Miller? They always talk about Kind of Funny. Who are these people?
Who are these people? Yeah, for real. Let's see. Okay, yeah, the other one that I was like, oh, it's kind of a bummer, is that, so I'm reading this from James Batchelor over at gamesindustry.biz. Toys for Bob reportedly suffered layoffs as it moves to support Call of Duty Warzone. So that was a bummer to kind of hear that. Apparently since the original, so I'll read the original story first and I'll go to the update afterwards because there's been an update I guess as of yesterday possibly. So original story says Activision owned studio Toys for Bob has reportedly dismissed an unknown number of staff. The layers appear to have occurred as the developer has shifted to support development for Call of Duty Warzone, having announced its involvement on the game via Twitter yesterday. Nicholas Cole, a character designer who was contracted to work with Toys for Bob on Crash Bandicoot 4 until January this year, shared the news and called it the end of an era. So,
yeah,
pretty sad over there. Said responding to another Twitter user, Cole added that, in quotes, "Everyone I interacted with and worked along was let go." There might be a little typo thing in there, but added that, in quotes again, "It's not a totally totally sick shuttering." I don't know what that means. SIC. I'm not sure what that means. I guess it's not a total company shuttering type of thing. At the time, the original thing said it's not known how many other employees have been affected, although Blake Maloof, who worked at the studio as a game designer for more than a decade, indicated that they have also been made redundant. It's also unclear whether Toys for Bob's role on Call of Duty is only for season 3 of Warzone or if it's permanent. And so, yeah, they reached out to Activision for more comment and clarification. And then the update, so there's a little bit more on that story, but the update says that Activision has denied that there has been any downsizing at Toys for Bob, in quotes from the representative. It said reports of layoffs at Toys for Bob are incorrect, the representative told GamesIndustry.biz. There has not been a reduction in personnel recently at the studio. The development team is operating fully and has a number of full-time job openings at the moment. The studio is excited to continue supporting Crash Bandicoot 4. It's about time. More recently, provide additional development support for Call of Duty Warzone. Which doesn't seem
that
to make sense,
weird.
Where, like, the statements, you know, the team is operating fully and has a number of full-time job openings at the moment. Doesn't
maybe
seem like that
just
makes
don't
total
say
sense.
You let people go.
Yeah, like it's like... it still sounds like because I think that statement can be true, while you know the Nicholas Cole's statement also being true there, where they talked where you know Cole talked about what's it called. Oh no, was that the one? Was I seeing the right one? Yeah, where they said that the position had been. Oh sorry, no, it was Blake Maloof who said that their position had been made redundant, right? So it's like, you know, you have multiple people working on the same type of role, and so it's like, oh, we don't need your thing right now, so obviously they're not employed there now. But then yeah, the idea that like, hey, like, you know, we're operating fully, as in maybe like, you know, we have someone on each type of like position, but the fact that there's now like, you know, multiple openings and stuff doesn't sound like, you know, doesn't sound like you're as fully staffed as you'd like us to believe, maybe.
Sounds like business lingo just for PR stuff.
Yeah, pretty much. So I was like, yeah, that's a weird kind of thing. But that brings up the topic I wanted to kind of go over briefly. And I don't know exactly where we are on like each side in relation to each other of that kind of thing. But the thing I was wondering about was what is more important, Michael? Brand new games or like you know brand new IPs or sequels / iterations on existing franchises. And I want to while you're thinking there, I want to throw in kind of the I don't know if it's like clarification of like not in terms of like what's better for businesses, right? Because obviously, you know, if something's making you a lot of money, they'll clearly go where the money's going, right? Yeah. I don't care about that part, right? But what do you think is more important, like in, you know, in gaming as a whole, like, you know, having new IPs or new kind of gaming things like started, or kind of continuing with, like I said, like sequels and like iterations on like a current franchise, like iterations being like the Call of Duty type of things, sequels maybe being like, you know, a Crash Bandicoot 4 compared to like, you know, Crash Bandicoot 1, 2, and 3.
My gut. Our initial reaction is new IPs.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see sequels, and iteration is probably the least important thing in my mind.
Yeah. Like that's probably a better way to phrase it. So like if we had to rank them.
Yeah, so it'd be new IPs, sequels, and then at the bottom is like Call of Duty iterations, like Assassin's Creed also kind of thing.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
I would probably say more solid on new IPs.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it definitely lets people be more creative, create new stories.
Yeah.
Bring new people in, create new ideas that haven't been done before, and you're not like repeating things over and over and over and over.
Yeah.
Sequels are good in, like, say, like the Spyro series or the Sly series or the Jack series, Last of Us,
mm-hmm.
Uncharted. I do feel like it gets to a point where, like, some probably aren't needed.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You don't need to keep making, like, Uncharted 4 or...
Or, like, I guess maybe we should say Uncharted 5.
Or Uncharted 5.
Sounds like
or,
4 exists already.
No, yeah. The point being, you didn't have to make Uncharted 4.
I see.
Maybe didn't even need to make an Uncharted 3.
Oh, interesting.
In some cases, sequels are good, I feel, but others, unless the game is, obviously they're mostly going to do it for money, but if it's popular, then sure. But I definitely think new IPs stand at the top.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think, you know, as you were saying that, because I think originally I was in that same kind of ranking where I was like, yeah, of course, I love new IP kind of stuff. Probably just because of, you know, that initial air of like mystery of like what's this thing going to be type of thing. Mm-hmm. And then sequels would be after that, and then iterations probably at the bottom also. But when you mentioned Uncharted, then I was like, you know, actually, because I think earlier in the week I heard Tim Geddes mentioned that, like, you know, he doesn't understand why people always want like new things rather than, you know, like sequels and like, I guess, I don't know if iterations would count in there, but I think he was talking about kind of like The Last of Us and then having The Last of Us Part 2 as opposed to, or no, sorry, I think the story sometime in the week was that, you know, rumors that there is now a story that had been like written like as like, you know, kind of like a draft type of thing for The Last of Us Part 3 or just The Last of Us 3 kind of thing. And then the conversation ensued between him and Blessing about like, hey, like, you know, like, why do we need this kind of thing? And it's like, yeah, like, I love this. I don't want this. I want, you know, put both people on like either side of it kind of thing. And I think originally I was like, no, I love new stuff. Like, yeah. I don't want them to make a Last of Us Part 3. But when I think about Uncharted, then I'm like, you know what? Actually, like, if they had just stopped at like Uncharted 2 or even like Uncharted 3 kind of thing, and we had never gotten 4, the series like wouldn't have been as like awesome as it is like now kind of thing.
True.
I don't know if that can be the same said for since I haven't played Lost Legacy, I think that's what it's called, right, with Chloe and Nadine.
Yeah, the Vita one.
Or the, not the Vita one, PS4, but yeah, it's like that kind of slight offshoot type of thing.
Yeah,
I don't know if I obviously can't say it because I haven't played that game. I should just go and play it so I can say it or not. But like, when you're going away from like mainline sequels, maybe that's where it starts to deviate. But in terms of like, yeah, if we had never gotten Uncharted 4, like, man, I probably wouldn't have had I wouldn't have the same feelings I have about Uncharted as a whole if we hadn't gotten that kind of thing.
Interesting.
And like, they've, you know, slowly made the mechanics better over time within that game, because Uncharted 1, like, you know, going back and playing it when we got the, what was that called, the Uncharted Collection or Nathan Drake Collection. Played that and I was like, oh, it's kind of rough.
Yeah.
Like, some of the areas kind of rough. Shooting was always rough in Uncharted, but it was more rough in number one. And like, even puzzles were like, yeah, they're okay, but not as like cool as the later games. And then we got 4, I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, so polished, like, you know, clearly a huge amount of time in between, kind of. And now we're at, you know, number 4, and it's just like, man, this looks great, plays way better than it used to, puzzles are really cool, kind of more like thought out and stuff, it seems like.
Yeah.
I'm not constantly having to go into this like little tiny notebook that I did in like 2 and 3 and I think even 1 and be like, all right, so they want me to look at this like spear thing and like move it some way. I don't know, but very, very like cool stuff that they've kind of like evolved over time. And that's why I was like, okay, maybe actually sequels are a little more important in terms of kind of like bringing out newer, like better ideas as opposed to just like starting from scratch.
Yeah.
But the other example of like scratch, like starting from scratch, is, you know, Guerrilla with Horizon Zero Dawn.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which I was like, man, when they first talked about that, I was like, this sounds awesome. This looks awesome. Trailer gives me goosebumps.
Mm-hmm.
And then playing it, I was like, this is the type of example of like a new IP that like, I think I always think of when I'm like, do you want something new or do you want something as a sequel? And I'm like, give me the new thing, because new thing can potentially be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, sequel probably be pretty good, up to amazing type of thing, right? But it's like, you kind of know some of what to expect, and that brings a little bit of the mystery out of it.
I do think there are exceptions, at least for me, for like sequels. Like, I'm sure the God of War 2 sequel is going to be great.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Infamous 2, great game. Metal Gear Solid 3 used to be my favorite game of all time, and it's still up there.
Mm. Yeah, could you imagine if they'd never gotten to like 3, if they just did, maybe they did like 1, maybe they did 2, and then it's like,
then stopped at 3,
we'll do something else,
stop at 2.
Yeah.
I there are definitely exceptions, but I feel like, I think I'm more on the side of keeping the game in the same universe but telling a different story.
I see. Okay.
I think I would
technically classify that as like an iteration type of thing, unless you're wildly changing the gameplay. Like, what you're doing.
I think you could. Like, I'm trying to think of an example of it, like, but I can't. Nothing.
Like, say, like, for example, like in the, I don't know, you have The Last of Us, which is like a third person survival shooter type of thing, right? And then you go into like in the same universe, but now it's like an adventure game, almost like, you know, The Walking Dead from Telltale type of thing.
That'd be interesting.
It would be interesting. Yeah. But I'm also like, eh.
Right.
I don't really care about that.
I don't know if I would agree with it being like the same, because iteration, when I think of iteration, I think of like Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Being war, you're doing the same thing. I think, like you could make a sequel to like, say, Last of Us, or what's another game, or like, even Miles Morales, in a sense. I don't know if I consider that an iteration of more of like a sequel, because it's in the same universe.
Yeah.
But you're getting a different story from a different perspective, just in that same world.
Yeah. Yeah. Sense. Okay. Yeah. That. Yeah. There are interesting kind of like gray areas. Right. There.
Yeah. I think that's what I feel like I would more want from sequels, and that would pump it up more. But again, I think I don't think you should do new IPs just to do. Oh, here's this. Make some new stuff. This is gonna be amazing. But I think if the new IP is good and it gets more people to like bring out new ideas and like new, like Death Stranding or Horizon or or things like that, it gets more universes out there. It gets more people can get inspired by that more so than like an Uncharted 3, which is.
Yeah, it's like it's
newer
like
newer stuff, but it's the same story kind of.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, thinking about like, I was trying to think, I was like, would sequels technically be kind of like that, just with the same characters? But then I was like, probably not. It's not that like difficult to like tell them apart kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say, it's kind of do you want, I don't know, maybe like, do you want like a brand new book kind of thing? Or do you want like totally different book that like you don't know what's going to happen type of thing, or you don't know all the characters and all these, you know, things are different kind of thing. So
I think it also kind of feeds into how movies or whatever are doing sequels to movies or doing iterations of books, and there's like a lack of new ideas and stuff. Like, oh, where's a new movie, where's a new original idea?
Yeah, that is,
it's
that
always
is
like a iteration of a book or a sequel to something.
Yeah, that is very true, where the movie industry is always dipping into the book side of things. Oh my gosh, dude. Or like just going back like, I don't know, 10-20 years, being like, hey man, we haven't made a Total Recall movie in a long time, let's go do that. That's a weird thing to say. Yeah. So if the gaming industry ever becomes like that, no more. Thanks. I'm good.
I do agree with your point though, with the Uncharted stuff. Like, it wouldn't have been good.
Yeah,
or Metal Gear wouldn't have been good if they just didn't make 3 or Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
That's definite.
I know for sure that part of it will be like how invested we are in these specific, you know, like universes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I've got The Last of Us. I finished The Last of Us finally. It took me like years to finish that thing. And then I have number 2 as well now, and I'm just like, okay, well, I gotta play this, but at the same time, I haven't felt the urge to play it yet.
Yeah.
And also, like, the thought of another Last of Us game, I'm just like, I don't need it. You know, that's probably for me, it's just more of like the, you know, the interest level type of thing is not really there. So if you ask me about that specific thing, I'd be like, no thanks. If you ask me about like, do I want a new IP or do I want a sequel to Horizon Zero Dawn? I'd be like, give me the new sequel.
Horizon Zero Dawn.
Of course. Come on. It's obvious. For sure. But yeah, I think it's like,
it is all perspective in that sense.
Yeah. It's basically going to be kind of what your, you know, how your tastes kind of go, and probably just how you felt about like the original game as well. So
it's true.
Yeah, so, well,
let's get Spider-Man 15 coming.
Oh my gosh, dude, can you imagine? And I think that's actually, you know, that's another interesting way of doing it, where I guess, you know, I know we think of, you know, iterations as like Call of Duty. I think that comes up pretty easily. Final Fantasy, basically all iterations.
Yeah, they're not
none
sequels.
Of these are sequels to each other, except, you know, direct ones like, you know, the dumb names 13-2 and 13-3 Lightning Returns. That kind of stuff is ridiculous. I guess they even had technical, like, I don't know if it was, would you call it a sequel for 10 and 10-2? Would you call those sequels, or just kind of like
the same characters?
Okay, just want to make sure.
Continuing on their story.
Yeah, because it.
Or Luna story.
Yeah, because they also had like, I don't know, from what I never played them, but from what I heard, they also have like the weird like pop group type thing
idols.
Is going on and stuff, and I'm just like, I don't know what's happening in
and
here.
Then,
but
who's the main guy?
Were you about to say Roxas?
I was going
to
say Roxas, yeah. And I was going to say Leon, but Titus. It's not Titus. Yeah, Titus comes back.
Mm-hmm.
in some sense, so that was definitely a sequel.
Okay, just want to make sure. So, yeah, so I mean, they have some sequels in Final Fantasy, but majority of them are just, like, you know, iterations within, I don't even know if you call it within the same world. You have similar, like, themes and, like, similar, I guess, like summons and things, yep. But that's pretty much all they really share. They don't really share much else.
There are some, like, Easter eggs and I don't know. I'm not going to say rumors, but like for Final Fantasy X and VII being in the same world or universe and stuff, but mostly their own separate.
Yeah, you can technically play any of them.
Oh, for sure.
Without needing to play other ones type of thing.
Yep.
You might see like similar monsters and things, obviously, but that's also like a Tales type of thing as well.
Or like a Persona thing too.
Yeah, there you go. All these things. So yeah, so there's actually more iterations out there than I thought there were, but... Yeah, well, that's the topic of the week, Michael. Oh, now, man.
I like these topics.
I like doing this. This is fun. I don't think since we've had a pretty light news week, not really else much to talk about except for maybe just bringing me on a little side quest, Michael.
Oh man, this is a special side quest.
Gosh, yeah, you forewarned me.
We're going back to the good old days of when Sonic Super Fast Minute was a thing.
Were they good old days?
Oh, they were great. When we read the Sonic Bible, come on.
Oh, jeez. I forgot about that.
This week is a Sonic the Hedgehog quiz.
Oh, gosh.
They're all relatively easy.
Okay, I was going to say, I hope so. Like,
they're all multiple choice.
Okay.
So there's no, like, you just have to give me straight the answer.
All right. Now, I would have to assume that, like, these couldn't have been pulled from, like, trophy lists either.
No, these are all questions I made up myself.
Gotcha. Okay.
I am very proud of this quiz.
Okay. Because I'm like, man, I was like, how could he make a Sonic quiz
on May 5th that I would be able to do this Sonic game?
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
you've
right,
only
dude.
Beaten one Sonic game. Wait, did you even beat Mania?
Oh, no.
Okay. You haven't beat any Sonic games.
Nope, I haven't beat any Sonic games. Oh my gosh.
All right.
Wait, no, hold on. Did I beat? I might have beat Sonic and Knuckles on the Game Boy Advance. Was that a game on the Game Boy Advance?
Not that I know of.
Hmm.
They maybe had like a version of it.
Maybe.
Or Sonic there was, Rush.
I don't think it was called Sonic Rush. I'll look it up. I'll figure it out. I want to, because you could play as Sonic, you could play as Tails, you could play as Knuckles.
But it I played might be the Game Boy Advance Sonic game that came out.
Okay.
Because I think I had it too.
Okay. And then you could also play as Amy, who was just like the worst out of the four. Yep.
With her hammer.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Question one.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the main villain in the Sonic the Hedgehog games? A.
Okay, multiple choice.
Dr. M.D. Botnick. B. Professor Oak. C. Dr. Robotnik.
Uh-huh.
Or D. Chili Dogs. Because we all know the real reason Sonic's running fast. All
right, yeah. Wait, are we saying that he's running fast because he ate chili dogs or he wants chili dogs?
You could both, you know.
Okay. I was like, does Sonic have the literal runs? Oh, jeez. Robotnik. Dr. Robotnik.
Number C, yes.
Yeah.
Number C. Letter C. Correct. Number two. What is the first level in the original Sonic the Hedgehog game on the Sega Genesis? Very first level.
Okay, gotcha.
A, Flying Battery Zone. B, Green Hill Zone. C, Hydrocity Zone.
Okay.
Or D, the zone where Sonic's got to go fast.
Oh, my gosh. I think it's Green Hill Zone, right?
Green Hill Zone is correct.
I was going to try and just guess, which I'm glad I didn't, because I think I was going to say, like, Green Run or something like that.
Green Run, that's my sister's high school in Virginia.
Oh.
Number three.
Mm-hmm.
This one you'll really appreciate.
Oh, geez.
You'll love this one. Can you feel the sunshine? Does it brighten up your day? Are part of the lyrics to the greatest Sonic song ever made. Can you feel the sunshine? That's its name.
Okay.
Appearing in Sonic R. What lyrics come after that? So it's, can you feel the sunshine? Does it brighten up your day? A, grab a hold of those rays and throw them in the bay. B,
what the heck?
Run as fast as you can, for your speed is on display. C, never forget those times, those memories might decay. Or D, don't you feel that sometimes, you just need to run away. I can see
holy crap. Okay, hold on.
Now, I made all these up.
Yeah, I was like, this is good. This is good, Michael.
Thank you.
Hold on a second. Okay.
I can repeat them if you want.
Yeah, please repeat.
Okay, so, can you feel the sunshine? Does it brighten up your day?
Uh-huh.
A, grab a hold of those rays and throw them in the bay. B, Run as fast as you can for those... Run as fast as you can for your speed is on display. C, never forget those times. Those memories might decay. Uh-huh. Or D, don't feel that sometimes. Don't you feel that sometimes? You just need to run away.
Man. Okay, I'm thinking out loud here. I'm...
Think of a song.
Stuck between... I want to say C or D.
Okay.
Let me see.
Think of it. Can you feel the sunshine? Does it brighten up your day?
Okay. What was C again?
Never forget those times. Those memories might decay.
Okay, I'm gonna go with D.
D's your
I'll go with, I'll with D, I think.
That is correct.
Yeah! I don't even remember what D was anymore, but I'm like,
don't
I think
you feel
that's
that
it.
Sometimes you just need to run away?
Okay,
that
there
one
we go.
Flows the best.
Whew. Yeah, okay. It was all good. Though.
Thank you.
Good rhymes.
Very proud of that one. Number four. Mm-hmm. What's the highest rated? Do you remember when we did a podcast and you got real mad that song was playing? It was before the podcast.
Wait,
but you're like, oh, this song sucks. I'm like, it's not that bad. You're like, okay, yeah, maybe not. I was like, dang, you really hate this song.
Wait a second. What song good is old this?
Okay, you're like, Can You Feel the Sunshine song.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, yeah. Yeah, but yeah.
Greatest song.
English-wise, like English lyrics-wise, it sucks.
Okay, number four. Mm-hmm. What is the highest rated Sonic game on Metacritic?
Oh, interesting.
A, Sonic Colors. B, Sonic Mania. Huh. C, Sonic Adventure 2. Or D, all of them. Sonic games exceed human comprehension and expectations.
You're the worst.
See, you made it easier. D is never really the answer.
Yeah, except for the last one. Let me see. I guess I'll say... I think I remember. You said Colors, Mania, or Adventure 2?
Yes.
I feel like a Mania is an easy answer.
Can he go 4 for 5?
Man, yeah, that's what I'm hoping here. I'm going to say Adventure 2.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
You'd be correct.
Oh,
look
wow.
Look at you.
Man.
Adventure 2 has an 89.
Wow, okay.
The Dreamcast. Sonic Mania has an 86.
Ah.
And Sonic Colors has a 78.
Gotcha, okay. I was like, I don't think it's Colors for sure. But yeah. I'm like, man.
I think Colors minus Mania is the most popular
modern
Sonic game.
Wait, Colors?
Colors, yeah.
Oh,
minus
gotcha.
Mania.
Gotcha.
Like
okay.
the
like one of the newer ones.
Yeah,
that's more
like
popular.
Forces and all of those ones.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Okay. Final one. Can Nathan go 5 for 5
oh, man.
In a Sonic quiz?
And you know,
maybe you are a secret Sonic.
And you know what I was gonna say is like, you know, if so, there's kind of two things that are about to happen here, where if I go 5 for 5, oh sorry, let's start the other way. If I miss this last one. You know, I lose because I don't get, you know, full points, right?
Yeah.
If I get this one, I still kind of lose because
you're showing your
the first time that I get 5 points is on a Sonic related quiz, and I'm just like, nah, that
you,
can't
you
be the
can't
case.
You can't deny these feelings, man.
Oh, gosh.
They're there.
All right. Let's do this.
Number 5. What does Sonic need to become Super Sonic, and how many does he need of these things?
Is it the
okay. multiple choice?
All right. you're trying to give me the best choice? I think I can get this one without the multiple
A,
choice.
A, Chaos Gems, mm-hmm. and 8. B, Chaos Emeralds, 7. C, Chaos Jewels, 7. Or D, all 7 Dragon Balls so he can summon Shenron and wish Goku back to life for the 10th time.
Oh my gosh. Is the B, the Emeralds, you need 7 of them?
5 for 5.
Oh, my gosh.
The only quiz so far where you've gotten a perfect.
Oh, that's the worst.
Is a Sonic quiz.
That's the worst.
Look at that.
Gosh.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Now, granted, I'm gonna say granted. Some of the other ones where you're like, hey man, what's this? What's the?
This
what's
one was
the
pretty
30th.
Easy.
What is the 40th platinum trophy you got? I'm like, man, I don't know. I got 200 some of them. I don't know.
I might have made this one secretly easier. So
yeah.
Right.
Michael secretly, yeah, he secretly did this to me. He's just like, now he's gonna, you know, be known as forever as you got the perfect score on the Sonic quiz.
There you go. Oh. I'll never let you forget.
Awful. Does that mean I'm Sonic's number one fan now?
No, that's still me.
No? Okay. That's like, that might be the only thing that would change things a little bit. Nope. Yeah, still Michael. That's fine. That's fine. All right. Well, everybody, that's been the Bros and Consoles podcast this week. Thanks for tuning in, as always. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, feels back, write into brosandconsoles@gmail.com. You can find us on the PSN. I am Indie Ronin, no space. Michael is a side quest on there, no space as well. Cool thing that I wanted to mention, or just shout out here, that has been happening that I didn't realize was happening, probably because I, you know, chose a specific thing when I started up Returnal the first time. When I started it, it was like, hey, do you want us to send you notifications about Returnal? And I was like, yeah, sure, why not?
Blessing thing?
Yeah, it was, it's like, so now I've realized that I've been getting these, like, things pop up, because I have the PS, I guess they call it PS app, the PlayStation app on my phone, which is, you know, nice now that they've kind of revamped it, because you can, you know, buy things off the store and stuff and download things pretty easily and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been getting notifications lately where a few people on my friends list are playing Returnal, and it's like, hey, like, you know, I forget the name of the type of, like, agents that they are or something like that. Let me see if I can pull it up. Here we go. So they're called Astra Scouts, right? That's the company that you work for or whatever. Mm-hmm. On here, I just had one about an hour ago where it says, your friend Astra Scout, Mr. K-Step, his last known location was detected in, and then it says, like, the name of whatever, like, biome or, like, level they're on. Mm-hmm. So he was in the derelict citadel. And, like, that's kind of a cool thing where it's, like, throughout the day, especially yesterday, I was getting things where it was like, hey, like, so-and-so is on, you know, the, like, first level kind of thing, overgrown ruins or something like that. And I was like, that's kind of cool. It's you know, it's one thing when they're like, hey, like, this person popped online. And I'm just like, okay, cool. But this one where it's like, hey, they're playing Returnal and they're on this level, like, yep, get in here type of thing. I'm like,
It's funny you mention that, because did you see Blessing's whole thing with it?
No, I didn't get to watch the entire thing, I think.
No, it was on Twitter. Gotcha. So he has that same thing. He would be getting notifications, but he'd be getting notifications when people died.
Oh.
So when they died, he would be taking pictures of it and posting it on Twitter saying, oh, man, better luck next time. You'll get it next time, man. Don't worry about it. And he was just blasting people. It was hilarious.
That's the worst. I have not seen that pop up yet, but maybe it will. So I'll keep a lookout.
If I get it eventually, you'll be seeing that a lot, because I will be dying a lot.
Yeah, do it, Michael. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, yeah, back to what I was saying. You know, feel free to write in and all that stuff. Questions, comments, or feedback are always welcome. And thank you guys all for tuning in each week there. We will see you guys again next weekend. Until then, hope you play a lot of cool games, have fun during out the week, and talk to you guys later.
Peace.
And cheers, everybody.